Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is an amazing book. I suppose it's my favorite, but I always say that. Every scripture is my favorite. Did you know that scripture only has one doctrine? Only has one teaching? And no matter how many doctrines you come up with, they're all the same in the Old Testament and New Testament. They never change. But you have to find the secret, even though you're God's worst disciple, you have to find the secret to that. And it's in this Bible. This Bible right here is the Word of God. And I like to read it in the original, because the original is different than the English. The English is easy to understand, but then you don't understand it because it isn't easy to understand. You actually have to read it by the Spirit. You have to read it by the Holy Spirit. If you read the book grammatically in English, you'll misunderstand, because it's written in a way that the original language is much more clear. And that's why I don't read it in just English. I don't want one of those books that have all the words and, you know, that they add word after word just so you get all the nuances and so on, even though you can do that. I like just the plain word. I like the word that God wrote. And he wrote in English. Now, the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, it means God is going to speak to us in such a way that you will totally hear what he says and understand it thoroughly. And now, but when you read it, it doesn't appear that way. We don't even know the word logos. That's a Greek word. But the logos is an intelligent kind of discourse that human beings understand. So if God would speak to us in Greek, we wouldn't understand him, or in any other language than the one we speak. But when God speaks, he wants everybody in the world to understand. That's why the Bible is translated into all the languages. And I think there's a couple thousand left. I don't know. Years ago, they used to teach that. But so the whole world doesn't have the Bible in their own language. And that's, you know, maybe Spanish is the language of the day, or maybe, you know, French or whatever, English. But thank God that God's intent when writing the word, and he wrote it deliberately in Greek, just like he wrote the Old Testament deliberately. It has two actually languages. One is the Hebrew language, and that the Jewish people follow that. And the other is the Aramaic. And the book of Daniel actually is written in your Bible and translated out of the Aramaic. And so everything you know about Daniel mostly is the Aramaic. And in the New Testament also, Jesus uses that. Why am I explaining that? Because God wants you to know how happy he is with you, just the way you are. Please, don't be anything else than you. So God can wake me up in the morning and I think I'm brilliant, and at the same time say, and you're my worst disciple. It's not a problem, because it's so accurate. Last night we were at the Petroleum Club in Dallas at a birthday party. And I guess it's on the 40th floor or something. I mean, it's really high up. And the table was like 50-some people. I mean, that's a big table. Wow. I mean, like, it's amazing. You can't even...
Now, do you get around?
Yeah. But I couldn't find my way out of Dallas. I went around and Peg yelled at me and so on and so forth. The lady on the thing that tells you where you are and what wrote, she said, next right, but there's a right here. Is that the right one, or is this other one the right one? Peg said, the other one. She said right. So I went around and around and around, and finally I decided to do what Peggy said. Because Peggy, she's clear. She's very clear. Don't be so foolish. Just do what I say. And so there you have it. So I'm a complete idiot, and I don't mind that. I don't mind that because it's totally accurate of me. Because on the one hand, I think I'm brilliant, and on the other hand, I think I'm an idiot. But we had a Baptist man last night at this meeting. I don't know what he was doing there. But he's a builder of luxurious homes in Dallas. And he came up. He's the only one that came up. And after my prayer, he laid his hand on this shoulder here. And he said, "I love your prayer. That was so beautiful." Wow. I'd like to see that guy again. he understood. He understood because he heard it in the spirit. He heard it deep down inside. He goes to a Pastor Jeffers church. And so it's great. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up here someday. But that was amazing. Peggy talked to the lady and so on and so forth. But I like it when Baptists understand you. I do. Because they don't like intellectual stuff. They just like, not the brilliant stuff. Just say it. Say the word of God. And so that's powerful. All right. Turn to chapter 1, verse 1. John. John chapter 1, verse 1. Oh, I love this. En arche en hologos proston theon. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Theos is the word for God in Greek. So, en arche, that means like archaeology, in time, you know, in old times. In the beginning, this one says. En arche en hologos. Now, there's a lot of people that like to make a big deal out of the creation and separate it. And friends of mine do this all the time. And then they have millions and billions of years and whatever, some kind of thing, as though the angels fell, and then they have a lot of stuff that's not in your Bible. And so they fill it in between verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. I don't believe in that. I believe what God said, he wanted me to understand. I don't believe he wanted me to guess that there's angels and how they fell and what they said to each other or whatever. I believe everything written is written for me to understand it in the Bible. And so the only reason I read the Greek and the Hebrew and Latin and so on is because you have to in order to understand what's happened since God created the world. And so it's written in all those languages, and those languages are no longer current today, even though some people speak them, most people do not. But I like to read it because it gives me totally a different understanding. So my point here is this, that God is able to speak to us in our own language, in our own understanding, so that we can understand what he's saying. And it's amazing. You can sit with somebody on a bus or an airplane or wherever you're going, and you can just say Jesus, and they're ready to receive him. You just say Jesus. Are you a Christian? Yes. I would like to be saved. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you can go anywhere in the world. People are ripe. I mean, the harvest is ripe. Amen. The laborers are few. So that's the only reason I want to travel. I don't want to travel. I'd rather stay right here. I do the same thing here as I do over there. So why travel? But because you want this gospel to go out, we have over 10 million people just in Uganda itself listening to all my junk and stuff. You know, it's like, great, praise God. Alex, you've been there. David, you've been there? Yeah. You've been there. Yeah, so it's a great place to go because God wants you to understand the good news. You have to. Did you know the New Testament's called euangelion in the Greek? But it's just good news. It's just good news. And angels, you know, they carry that to John or to whoever wants to hear it. And but when Jesus started his ministry, he used the word repent. You remember that? Just like John. Not this John, John the Baptist. That's another John. And so repent means, and don't forget this. Now, mark it. He's going to say a word, and I'm going to remember what it says. Comfort yourself. That's not the same thing as I will comfort you. That would be passive. I want you to be comforted. No, it's not like that. It's like this. Tell Israel to comfort themselves. Hanan in the Hebrew. And if you, every time you look at that word, substitute the English word, comfort yourselves. In other words, the subject of the sentence uses a verb that reflects back on the subject of the sentence. That's called reflexive. So the subject of the sentence is you. Comfort yourself because your warfare is over. Your sins have been forgiven. It's all over. Wow, that was a prophecy. Hadn't yet come to pass. That was a prophecy long before Jesus, 700 years before Jesus came. Comfort yourselves, tell Israel. This is the 40th chapter in Isaiah. And the first verse is the Hanan, Hanan, or Nahum, Nahum. We say it that way. Naham, Naham. So you have to understand that. Don't ever worry about anything because God has done everything. And we had a woman last night who came up to me, used to go to the Fort Worth church. Now she lives here in Dallas. But and she said, I never forgot that message about don't worry. You know, praise God. And I was wearing her father's coat because I knew it was a birthday party and kind of casual. So I wore the coat and I prayed that she'd be there. But she was there. And she was there. And she said, she saw us in the crowd, and she said, this is what she said. My father used to have a coat just like that. And the mother, her mother, offered me the coat because he said, I think you could fit this coat. And it's very nice. And so I just wore it for that reason. So you can tell I'm not brilliant, but you know what? That's why I wore it, just to please her if she was there. If she wasn't there, I'd look ridiculous. But she was there. And she said, and when I came up to her, I said, I pointed to my, she didn't know what I was saying because I'm an idiot. And I just pointed to my coat. She said, yeah, she didn't understand. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, the coat. My father used to have a coat like that. This is your father's coat. It's still great. It's one of those nice coats. And so it's like she was blessed. To me, I'm a simple person, even though I'm brilliant. I'm a simple person, even though I'm a bad disciple, even though that's true. How many of you are a contradiction like I am?
Amen.
I mean, you believe in God, but yet you do ungodly things. You know, you believe in light, but you walk in darkness. I mean, I'm just saying, everybody is a contradiction. Everybody. Even if you think you're brilliant, you're not. Even if you think you're smart, you're not. I learn everything from God. This is God's instruction book. Everything in here is God's holy word. Everything in here. And so everything in here is just my kind of teaching for the day. Here's how you live. And I just do it. I do it. But I don't do it like a duty. I do it like I want to do whatever he says. Whatever he says, I want to do it. If he says rejoice always, I rejoice always. You can never catch me. You don't look joyful. I may not look joyful, but I'm joyful. I don't care how I look. But what I care about is they have joy in my heart. And I'm always, always fixed in my heart to worship God. Always. I'm always worshiping God. Why? There isn't anyone else. There's no other God. How many know that? You're a new creation. You're a new creation. Well, this book right here that I'm reading, Enarche en hologos proston theon. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Wow. atone in the Greek means I'm standing before God in his presence. So it doesn't just mean with. It means I'm standing before God in his presence, and you can't be there because you would be destroyed if you ever looked into God's presence unless he allows you to come, unless he tilts his scepter toward you and says, you're welcome to be in my presence. So in the beginning was the word, Logos, L-O-G-O-S. In the beginning was the word, and the word was in the presence of God because he's his son. And you and I are all sons of God. If you're a woman, you're a son of God. And you are led by the Spirit, then you're a son of God. That's it. And I'm going to be the bride of Christ. That means submissive to my husband. And so the Jewish people are submissive to the law. Okay, that's good. And they're trying their best to keep the law, but they've all failed in that because nobody can keep a law. And all other religions are law religions. We have the only religions that's good news. The only one that's good news because God does it all and you do nothing. God does it all, you do nothing. What is it to be nothing? What is it to be nothing? Just be yourself. That's what you, who you are. You're yourself. So I can be the worst disciple and also brilliant all at the same time. Are any of you like me? You're brilliant? You know you're brilliant. Because you can, you know, judge other people and see what they're doing and so on and so forth. And so you understand all things, all mysteries and so on and so forth. And yet at the same time, you're his worst disciple. How many know that? That's a reality. I don't care what people think. Because God writes this word to real sinners. Because he doesn't want them to be sinning anymore. But instead of telling you to stop sinning and start doing what's right, he writes in there, I'll do it for you. Whatever I demand, I supply. Whatever I demand, I'll supply. Whatever I demand, I will do it for you. Because you're my son. You're my daughter. You're my beloved. So at the same time, I love God with all my heart. My heart is fixed. And yet my behavior doesn't reflect it. This is like playing golf. However I shoot, I always say, I tried my best to get it in the hole and I didn't. But I say it doesn't reflect my intention. I mean, I intended to do good, but I did poorly. But I don't want to hear that, so I don't say it. I just say, well, yeah, had a good game. But I really was horrible, but I don't want to say that. And so I have a reputation of being pretty good. But it's totally made up. It's totally invented. Because of all the shots that I didn't make, you know. But one day I fell off the roof. You remember that a few years ago? And I fell off my roof and because I had 10 ribs fractured and lung collapsed and ear bashed up and eyes closed and all that kind of stuff. I didn't pay attention to that, but within a few weeks, one of the members in Fort Worth, they said, let's go play golf. And I can't. I just got over, you know, being traumatized or whatever. And I can't. I won't be good. Good. Let's do it. Because you always beat me. So for him, I'm awesome because he's never beaten me, ever. And so it's like, so he said, let's do it. And he thought, for sure, this time, because he can't walk, he can't do anything, and so on and so forth. And I said to him, I probably will only play one hole or two because I don't want to ruin my back because I have all these problems and so on and so forth. He said, well, good. I'm going to beat you today. You know who that is, Bill. Bill. So Bill and Dolores, you know. So Bill always plays golf. He likes to play golf. And so we have 4 hours together on a golf course. You can waste time 4 hours to talk about Jesus. That's what we do. That's why I love golf, because you got 4 hours with somebody and just, you know, tell them about Jesus. But my game is not a reflection of who I am. Because in my heart, I love Jesus with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, by faith. There's the contradiction right there. I do it by faith because I'm not cleansed of all my sin yet, and so I have to do it by faith. Because still my sin is wanting to get a little pride. You know, so is anybody like that? It's just a little bit of pride. Not a lot of pride, just a little teeny-weeny bit of pride. I want God to get all the glory, but sometimes I steal a little bit. You know, I want people to notice who I am and how great I am. Is anyone like that?
Yes.
Is anyone here? Just, Dan, would you say you're like that?
Absolutely. Very proud.
That's embarrassing.
Very proud of
you. That's embarrassing. What? So, there you have a pastor who's the worst disciple and yet also brilliant and loves the Word and loves God. So, I don't know how those two fit together, but God does. And He wrote this Word for an idiot like me to understand everything He's saying and to understand exactly the meaning. And when I read it objectively. I never read it subjectively. How does that fit on my life? I never read it that way. I just always read it, what does it say? And whatever it says, I repeat it. Whatever it says, I repeat it. I just tell them, right? God, it says right here, love you with all my heart and soul and strength. I do. I just say that. I love you with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Now, if you love God with all your heart, can you love anything else? You could temporally, but you couldn't eternally. So you could love ice cream, or you could love your wife, or you could love anyone. But the point is, I only do what God says. And so I know my love toward God is with all my heart, all my soul. Now see, I got a new heart. So that would work out because I have a new heart. Because He said, if anyone hears my word and believes on me, you have eternal life. Okay, that's good. However, my soul is not yet caught up with that. And so my behavior follows my soul rather than my heart. And so I then want to do perfectly, but I don't. And every day I'm humbled, because every day I realize, and this is what I woke up with this morning, you're my worst disciple. Yes, that's true. But I'm also brilliant, because I think a lot. I think a lot. Does anyone think like I do? I mean, I just think of Jesus all the time. And I'm always, you know, thinking, you know, You're not doing it exactly right. And it's so easy for me to judge others rather than judge myself. Does anybody have that problem? You're judging others, but you forget to judge yourself first. And God has to remind you. Worst disciple, you're thinking of others rather than yourself. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you pointed that out. And He says in there, I gave you this word so you'd be happy all the time. Did you know God wants your happiness? Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. There it is. So I do that by faith. I don't do it because I have sin in me. I have darkness in me. Did you know when Adam and Eve sinned, darkness came in and the light fled? They extinguished the light by the darkness that came in because they listened to another word. You remember, Satan was there and he gave them another word. And the serpent said, God said, then the serpent said, opposite to God. And so, man, that serpent can just sneak right in because he's supple. He's subtle. He can just get right in. And wherever God builds a church like this one, he can also, Satan will just build a chapel right next to it. He'll just build a nice chapel, a good one. And so wherever you see people that love the Lord, I tell you, there'll be a contradiction in that church. Because the devil's going to build a little chapel there for them to, you know, criticize and grump and be grumpy about it and murmur and so on and so forth. But thank God we don't have any people like that. No, this is not Fort Worth. This is Dallas. So thank God. Everybody here is full of joy.
Hallelujah.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Praise the Lord.
Woo! Glory! I'm excited. I'm excited about this. But I never forget who I am. You are nothing nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You are nothing apart from me, but I'm all things through him. So everything in my life, there's nothing here. There's only the idiot, the worst disciple. There's only a sinner. But with God, that's gone. And I believe, though he just said it, I believe in it. It's already true, and I can say it right away. I love you with all my heart and soul and strength. It changes my personality. I'm a different person. I'm not what I used to be. I am now, I'm a Christian. And I don't think of myself any other way, unless I'm brilliant. And then, I realize that you're still nothing. And I never forget that. Every day I'm humbled. Is anybody humbled like I am every day? You know, and you realize when you're doing great things and awesome things that you're really in pride or you're really in, you know, whatever. And you really aren't anything without God. But with God, you can do all things who strengthens you. Wow. Man, that's amazing. So now this is going to be funny because I have to qualify it. But I really don't judge other people, whatever they do. I just accept them. If they sin, I don't care. That doesn't bother me at all. Because my sins are worse than theirs. Because I know me better. But it's not the worst. It's just that they're the same. But they also sinned and I also sinned. So I don't judge them. Because if I were the judge, then I'd be judged. Because I'd be a bad judge. And so I don't. I don't care what you did, what you said. Jesus loves you. I can say that. I can say that easily because I am so. I spend 5 hours every day in prayer, and mostly show me my sin. If there's any wicked way in me, show it to me, and I'll deal with it right then. Meaning, I'm committed to say the opposite. I'll say the opposite, Lord. Even though I lied, I'm not a liar. Did you hear what I said? Because I'm going to tell the truth, which will set me free from the law of sin and death. And so I'm not like put my head in the sand and not see what's going on. Of course I'm no good apart from God, but I'm not apart from God. God is in me and I'm in him. That's the new me. That's powerful. So I'm never hiding from my sin. Every day I confess my sins. Whatever he shows me, like you're the worst disciple. I love that. That's not bad to me. That's good to me. You lied. I love that. I don't like to use other words like you weren't up to par today or whatever. I don't like to use that. I just like to say I was glutton today. I was a glutton today. We had ice cream last night, kind of like a dessert or something like that. I don't know what it was. But I didn't want it because I eat too much sugar, and I know that, so I gave it to Peggy. And she said, I'll just take a bite. But she ate 3/4 of it. But I didn't say anything because I'm a sinner also. She liked it so much that she just kept eating it. But she didn't finish it off, and I noticed that. She just left a little fourth there. And so, rather than judge her, I said, don't say anything. Leave it. Because she liked it. And all the men, only the men got the ice cream. And the women got the cake. I don't know how they did this. But the women got the cake, and the men got the ice cream, and then certain people would be reaching over into the other person's, you know, and then they'd have their own.
We do.
Yeah. And so you see who loves each other because they let them do that.
They have always looks better.
So I want you to know something. The world was utter, utter, utter darkness when Jesus came in the fullness of time. When Jesus came in the fullness of time, what makes it full? Why is it pregnant for Jesus to come at the time he came? He came in the spring of the year. I know you think Christmas is it, but you're wrong. It's in the spring of the year. It's in Luke. Just read it. But in the spring of the year, Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor, the August one, the big one, the great one, Caesar Augustus was called Son of God. When he was born, they have it written on somebody chiseled it out on marble, you know, Son of God. But this was after he was born. Because prior to this, he was only 18 years old when the guy that preceded him, Julius Caesar, his uncle, and he was born of Octavian, but he was born, and he said his two sons were no good, and they were just proud because their Julius Caesar had conquered the whole world and so on and so forth, and so he said, I'm going to pick at the last second my nephew, because I know he's only 18, but he admires me, and he'll build the empire. He will change this thing into an empire. Remember, he crossed the Rubicon. If you cross the Rubicon, that's a violent act. Don't ever enter Rome crossing the Rubicon. So don't get over that river, and you'll be in trouble. And so he did, because he knew he was emperor, but he never called himself emperor, because he knew, don't say that. Let him think we're still a republic of laws when we're an emperor. I'm in charge of everything. But the nephew didn't have any reluctance. He just said, I'm going to do what he dreamed about, what he intended. I'm going to be Caesar Augustus. Well, that's how he come in. Darkest day. Why? Because he taxed the people of the world. The whole Roman Empire had to pay the tax. That's the darkest day as far as God is concerned, when you pay your tax. Did you understand what I say? Why? Because God understands a tax is not just something light, like 0.5% or one day's wage. A tax is an annual tax, is a big thing for IRS. Now, people don't like the IRS, but that's dark, because they can take your house, they can take your, you know, they can do anything they want. And they're like superpower. And so that darkness was, now the people will be oppressed by their ruler. An empire means only God is the emperor. Everybody else is just a mere man. The emperor wishes, the emperor pleases. But that's replacing Jesus. How many know Jesus is the only emperor? King of kings and Lord of lords. And so this darkness flooded the world, and God said, that's darkness. You can read this back in the Old Testament, where it says it'll be in the fullness of time, which will be a day of darkness. And so the darkness that was in Adam and Eve filtered all the way down, and men then were emperors in the world, like Nimrod and then Nebuchadnezzar and all these people in the past, Alexander the Great and so on. They wanted to rule the whole world, because he said, and at this time, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, was on all the world. Now, the Bible says all the world. It didn't literally mean it was in China. So it just meant all the world that Rome controlled and had dominion over. So that was powerful, but the whole world was aware of that. They were aware, hey, they got an empire thing going there. And so China has never, he had an empire in China, but they've never, ever did, and they never, ever will rule the world. I can just tell you, because it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. He'd be just a king of the East, but they're not in the Bible. So India will never rule the world. America will never rule the world. That's why we read the Bible before America was built, and we just said, hey, let's not be like Britain, trying to be an empire in the whole world. Let's just defend our own land here. Let's have a defensive, you know, rebellion, you know, war, whatever, to defend our rights, just like we did with Santa Ana. Santa Ana said, I'm going to impose the Catholic religion on everybody that comes here, and I'll kill everybody that doesn't obey me, because I'm the emperor. I'm the emperor of the West. Not Napoleon, he was over there, but I'm the emperor of the West. And so I don't think he stuck his hand into his shirt like that. But he's just like him. He's just like him. And the people of America had another theme: God and liberty. And every letter that the founding generation in Texas, they would write Travis, God and liberty. They'd write it every time. And they even had a flag in the Alamo when the Alamo fell on the 6th of March. When it fell, and then 2 weeks later, they destroyed this guy. The emperor came with 4,000 troops. And he slaughtered 183 people in the Alamo and killed every one of them. Well, there are a couple exceptions, but they weren't soldiers. They were people that doesn't count. There was a black man, there was a woman, and so on and so forth. But they killed every American, and he vowed, this will be a war of extermination. I will exterminate everybody that ever came from America. Everyone that's here, I'll destroy them all. Well, the Texans had a different idea. Let's not aggress Mexico. Let's just be here and defend ourselves. With 183 people in the Alamo. And they saw the guy marching back and forth just a few yards away. They saw him. There's no hope. But then the leader said, no, I'm going to draw a line in the sand. Anyone who wants to leave, leave. Anyone who wants to stay, stay. Get over on this side, you go on that side. So they drew a line in the sand. That's how Texas became the Lone Star State. And so, you're with me or against me. And so everybody believed in God and liberty. Well, Santa Anna did not believe in that. He believed in God and, slave everybody else. God wants me, the Napoleon of the West, to own Mexico. Now I'm going to own Texas too, because it's one of our places, Texas. And no Mexican wanted to live here in Texas. There were a few, but nobody thought this was a great way to live. Down in Mexico, they didn't think this. Texas was what are those sticker bushes they have?
Briars.
What are they? They stick you little needles are all over your eyes.
Cactus?
No, they're not cactus. Certain thing. Very small.
Sandburrs.
No.
We call it mesquite trees, but they're not mesquite.
No. No, it's not. No.
Sandburrs.
The reason I know that is because when I came here to Texas, I ran into one of them. And somebody said, it was on our property, right there at the church. I said, what is that? It stings. They said, you just ran into such and such. Anyway, it's a little thing that sticks you.
Bull nettle?
Bull nettle.
Yeah.
That's it. Peg, you know everything. Peg knows everything. I have a wife that knows everything. I love it. Where are my keys? Where are my glasses? Where's my wallet? She knows right where they are. They're on the kitchen table, whatever. You're wearing your glasses. She reduces me to nothing, zero every day. Because she knows everything. I mean, I'm always amazed. How do you know where they are? I saw them there. Okay. And so my brilliance just drifted away. Are you all understanding? I'm a walking contradiction. And every one of you is also.
Amen.
You may say Jesus in your mouth, but when you say Jesus, you're going to be contradictory to that. Why? I mean, it's impossible. I mean, no one could say, I'm better than you. We used to say that as kids. But no one can say that. Because until Jesus comes back a second time, that hasn't yet happened yet, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he came to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This was all built on an ancient, 2,000 years earlier, promise to Abraham. It was all built on something that was forgotten. Even the Jews forgot it. As soon as they had Moses, they forgot Abraham. And it says in the Bible, you've forgotten the rock from which you were hewn. That foundation stone, that's way back there, father of faith, Abraham. So that is the good news. And Jesus came in the fullness of time when it's the darkest. When people now realize laws will now, they're only interested in laws. What property you have, let's tax it. What right do you have as a person? Let's tax him. Whatever. They always taxed anything so that they can run the business. But they corrupt every single time. For some reason, I don't know why, I guess they're like us. They tend to not obey the oath they've taken. I promise, I swear an oath that I'll uphold the Constitution of the United States. And yet they're corrupt. They have girlfriends on the side, and they have all kinds of things going for them. And everybody accepts it because that's just the way it is. And it's always been that way. And all the books you read and so on is to tear America down, make us look like nothing. But we believe in God and liberty. What a contradiction for a Christian nation than to be bigots. That doesn't make any sense. And so this is a funny world in which you live. And you have to be realistic. You are not special except to God. He wrote this book for you as a daily, 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 not weekly, monthly, not Sunday, daily. You have to read this thing. Now, I'm a pastor, so I have to. I have to. That's the law of pastoring. You have to read the Bible, at least to preach a sermon. But this sermon I'm preaching to you, I didn't study. Because we came home at 12 o'clock last night and just went to bed. Usually I'm up at 4 or 5. But I didn't today. So what's coming out of my mouth, you have no idea because I didn't plan on anything. I never even cracked the book at all. I just knew. And God spoke to me. Speak on the ancient promise. That's what it's called. The ancient promise. That promise God never forgets. When he makes a promise, he always does what he says he'll do. That's good news. That's good news. That's better than bull nettle. That is good news. That is good news. I mean, I tell you, that is joyful, Randy. That's good news. Forget all your problems. Turn your back on your problems. Just put your face on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So that's what I do. I just look up. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Someday I will have no sin. Someday when Jesus comes back, I'll have a new body and a new soul. Everything will be new. New heart, new body, new soul, new everything. And I'm amazed. I'll be sitting on the throne with God. Wow. Probably in a pastor. Don't you think pastors should get us like a purple chair or something like that? Should have something special. Well, at least if we don't, just look over and say, thanks for teaching us the gospel. You know, something like that. Well, that would be glorious, so don't do it. Don't do it. I'll just do it by faith. Now, what God wants is just be yourself. If you're yourself, if you're totally yourself, then you'll be a sinful self. If you're totally yourself, you'll be a sinful self. That's why people don't want to do it. They'd rather do a good work and expiate for their sins. They'd rather do a good work and expiate for their sins. Do you know what that word expiate means? Pay for your sins. Do a good work. Hey, God, you notice what I just did there? And I did that sincerely. This time I meant it. God doesn't count that. You're a rotten, no good, to the hilt sinner. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? So doing a good work, you're replacing Jesus. You're replacing the Holy Spirit. No, no, don't do a good work. Just believe on Jesus being good and don't count yourself as being good. Everything he did was good for me. Everything he did was good for me. Everything he did was so that I would be blessed. Everything he did was to bless me. Everything he did. He never, ever, he came in somebody else's name, the Father's name. And the Father who dwelt in him did the good works through him. So even Jesus wasn't good because he was a servant. He was a trustee. He was a steward of the mysteries of God that were hidden in heaven. And he came and said, let's speak to people in Dallas. Let's speak to everyone as individuals, not as group, not as the Democrats do it, you know. Identity, you're this and you're that and so on. You're this and that, female, male. They do that. I don't do that. People are people are people are people. What's the difference between a man and a woman? They're just people. They're just individuals. So male and female. And he created them male and female. That's like that. That's what the them means. Male and female. So Adam could mean mankind. But it also can be the name of an individual, Adam. It can be either. So Adam in the Bible means mankind, but it also could mean somebody's name. And the first ancestor was named Adam. Adam means blood. Did you know that? There's a lot to it. I'm not saying it all. I'm just simply saying Adam is anybody who is a creature of God. We're a natural creation. We're the thereof. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We're the thereof. You're the thereof. So the world is not the earth. The world is part of, a portion of the earth, wherever people dwell. Wherever people dwell. Let's say you're in a cave up in, you know, Wisconsin. It's okay. I don't think they have caves there, but, you know, wherever you are, you are part of the world, even though you live in a cave and you don't, you know, associate with people. There are people in cities that don't associate with people. Did you know that? There are people right here in Dallas that they're living under a bridge and so on. You don't know who they are, and they don't have any Social Security, and they don't know anything because they're escaping some, you know, horrendous situation in the world. They'd rather be under a bridge than be married. These are people that are drinking because they don't want to think. Because if you drink, then you blur your, you know, brains out, and then you can't think. And so people drink because they don't want to think. Because if they think, they know they're no good. Because they're escaping all responsibility. Do you all understand that? But individuals are loved by God, and he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're male, female, young, old, fat, and dumb. He doesn't care about all that. He doesn't have any categories. If you're a human being, when you were conceived in the womb, he wrote upon your heart with this finger, right hand, this finger right here. I don't know how it can get that big hand right down and right on my heart. And I'm just a little bitty baby. But he can write on the heart, this one is mine. So, David, just a few days ago, he had the first month of the new baby. But when she was conceived in the womb, that was 9 months earlier, or whatever, and then he wrote it on, this one's mine. No emperor between me and this person. No pope will be between me and this person. No pastor, no leader of any kind. I don't care who you are. Just me, Jesus, and you. And Jesus always reveals the Father. Because he came as Son of Man, not Logos. Logos is what he is in heaven. He's going to speak to us. But everybody ignored it. They ignored the promise that he made to Abraham. And it's in the Old Testament, but they ignored it. This is Genesis 22:8. Abraham said to his son, you've heard me say it a billion times, and I'll say it till the day I die. Everything began with that promise. That promise was not just, you know, I love you and so on and so forth. That promise was, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. But Abraham was a sinner. Did you know that he was living in Ur. That was the capital of the world. That was a big city in those days. It was really a big place. And he said, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything here. And I want you to go to this land. I'll show you. I'll show you this land. Because God is not a person that says, go to the land. He shows you. I'll personally take you there. And he was thinking of Canaan. He was thinking of Canaan. I'm going to show you this land. And it's the most gross, awful place in the whole world. They had the Girgashites and the Amalekites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And they had all these people living there. And I want to show you this land. And it's so filthy, I'm going to set up my kingdom right there in the midst of the darkness. Because darkness entered Adam and Eve the minute they sinned by listening to the devil, another word. And Satan said, and he just asked a question, did God say that you can't eat of all the trees of the garden? Oh, no. No, no, we may freely eat of all the trees. Well, except that one. That one of, whatever that one is, you're forbidden to eat of that one, Eve. Don't forget that. And so, but Eve forgot because she had to walk by it because it was in the midst of the garden. In the midst means in the middle. So he always puts you in the middle of trouble. Is that not interesting? Does not that describe everybody here? You're in the midst of trouble, especially if you live in a city. You live in a city, I mean, all kinds of things happen. You live in the country, all kinds of things happen, but nobody knows about it because you're in the country. And the other neighbor is 4 miles away or whatever. And so you live in the city, you're exposed to awful things, right? And we're divided today. Anybody noticed we're not America anymore? We're 2 Americas, 5 Americas, 15 Americas. I don't know what kind of Americas we are. There's the Mafia America and so on and so forth and all these groups. And we are not longer American. But how can you have a nation if you're no longer unified? You can't. Because there's no justice. Because every group is speaking, I'm this, I'm a woman, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, and so on. And so we're fighting for our rights as a group. And rights as a group go somewhere. I'm just not me. I'm me plus all these people. I'm representing all these people. Oh, so the Muslims have it. Everybody has it today. You got a group. Group behind you. I'm the drug lord in Mexico, whatever. You have a group. And groups get something done. Because there are lots of them. Lots of people. But God doesn't see lots of people. He only sees one thing. You're a person that I created. And I put on your heart, you love Jesus. And you know what? This message that I give right here, this good news that's in this book, is how you live every day and go ahead and be persecuted and hated. Amen. How many know that everyone that lives a godly life will be persecuted? It says that. It says that. So get used to it. David, everybody, they don't like you. Why? Because you're a Christian. And they have another religion, or they have another view, or they have another ideology, or they have another philosophy. It doesn't matter. Whatever people do, maybe they're materialists, maybe they're whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever you are, you'll be hated. So we enter this world being already hated, and we just got born. That little baby, Gabrielle, she can't speak, but she could speak. Does everybody hate me here? Because she doesn't realize that human beings are not God. Did you know that human beings are not God? That's amazing. Well, if you're not God, how can you run the universe? Well, you can't. I mean, that's it. If you can't, you can't. But he only sees individuals. And you individually, and there's two things in society. There's the individual person, which no other societies recognize. There's the individual person, but they're still there. And God sees them. And then there's the public good. That's another group. But it's supposed to be everybody in America. But it's not today. We're at loggerheads. We're fighting each other. We're battling each other. And the one group today, they don't want to play at all. I'm not going to play. I'm going to take my marbles, go over here. And so it's okay. Do you love the Democrats? Do you pray for the Democrats? They're in trouble. I'm telling you, they're in trouble from God's point of view. From God's point of view. I love them. They're people. They're people just like you are people. And maybe someone here is a Democrat. I don't care. You can be anything you want to be. I'm at home among prisoners. I'm at home among lepers. I'm at home wherever I go. Because I'm a lover. Are you a lover?
Amen.
Why? I don't know. God made us that way.
Jesus.
And I believe it. I believe that God made me to survive to this day. Even though I'm the worst disciple and brilliant. All at the same time. Is there anybody here? Worst and brilliant.
Yes.
I mean, that's a sin. The worst is bad and brilliant is also bad. I mean, either one's a sin. Because you're doing it apart from Jesus. Do it in Jesus, you're righteous. You do it in Jesus, you're righteous. And Jesus made the offer, will you marry me? Yes, sir. I'm married to Jesus. And my husband is bearing all the burden, and I get all the blessing. Woo! That's so exciting. I want all the blessing, and he gets all the burden. Even if I don't obey all the laws, even if I don't believe half of them, it doesn't matter. I can just be me. And I don't mind being an idiot. I don't mind being a bluff. I don't mind that. Because that's just another sin. Jesus, did you take care of that one? Because my wife keeps pointing that out. When are you not going to exaggerate? I always exaggerate. Yeah, but when are you not going to do it? I don't know. It's like a habit. You're justifying it. Yeah, I am. Because I want to exaggerate. Is anyone an exaggerator? Anyone? Just raise your hand so I can see who you are. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay. He loves you as an exaggerator. He loves you as a murderer. He loves you in any category you're in. Because he wrote his name on your soul, on your heart, when you were born. This one's mine. And nobody else can be God over this person except me. And he decides, because he knows everything, he decides when you're going to die. He decides how you're going to live. He decides all that. But he doesn't decide it for you. He just decides and then gives this word. And you got to get it out of the word. This is the problem everybody under law mistakes. This word is all promise. Everything in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, promise. So the Logos knew that, and the Logos in heaven became the Lamb on earth. But the Logos in heaven, he came down as Son of Man to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So he's taken away my sin right now. And I can say I'm brilliant or worst disciple and so on. It doesn't matter. He's doing it. And I'm trusting him. Because I don't have the power he has. Did you know that only God can recreate you? Did you know only God can give you happiness in your heart? Did you know only God can, you know, make you holy? Did you know only God can do that? So I let him do what he wants to do because he's really good at it. Did you know that God is really good at everything he does? I mean, he knows more than you. So anyone that thinks you're brilliant, you're mistaken. You're mistaken. En arche ein ho logos proston thean. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with, in the presence of God. And you can stay there because you're righteous. Wow. That's why Jesus could stay there. He didn't need the tilt of the scepter. He just knew, I am God. So he was in the beginning with the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wow, the Word was God. That's a scandal. To a reasonable person, that's a scandal. How can a human being, Jesus, who died on the cross, how could he be also the Son of God that stands in the presence of God, with God, because he is God? I don't know, it doesn't make any sense. How many know your brain will not get you to heaven? As brilliant as you are, you're a fool. You know nothing. I learned everything from this book. And so I don't talk normal talk. I just talk God talk. Why? Because that's all there is. I don't believe in human talk. I'm not a humanist. I'm not a Renaissance person. Well, when I grew up, I wanted to be a Renaissance person. I wanted to be Leonardo da Vinci or, you know, Michelangelo or somebody. I wanted to be someone who understood everything. Did you know that Michelangelo read Luther? You're probably not aware of that. So when he did the Sistine Chapel, he also was doing the Pope's, where he would die, where he'd be buried. So he had a little chapel downstairs that was going to be his. And he did that, and he had Moses looking at the cross. Okay? No, he didn't. He does today. But he didn't. He had Moses looking over at the law. And there the Ten Commandments were. And Moses was looking at the Ten Commandments because he's the lawgiver. But he, realizing as he read Luther, if God does it all, then he should be facing this way, toward the cross, which means he does it all, we don't do anything. So he changed the carving on the face and let him look at the gospel rather than at the law. That is a Catholic. He did that for the Pope because the Pope wanted to be awesome and great and have everything done, and Michelangelo was the one to do it. And you can see the movie. It's very good. But the movie is very, very accurate in the sense of what I'm telling you. He changed the statue. It doesn't have that in it, but he's changed that. And now Moses, if you go there now, you didn't know he changed it because he's so good at what he did. He could see it. Immediately as he read, he could see. Read, see. Hear, see. Faith cometh by thinking? No. Faith cometh by tithing? No. Faith cometh by hearing with the word of God. The word God has spoken to you every day. Why would you want to not know about your future? Your immediate future. Your long-term future. This is heaven. And there ain't anything else. Nothing else. Nothing else is real. I tell you, the unseen world is more real than the seen world. He saw something as he read. And he had sponsors and he had actually really high level Catholics on his team. Not on the art team. Just on, hey, keep doing what you're doing. And I don't even know that he revealed it to anybody, but it's written down in the archives. They find it years ago, and now you can read it. What he actually was reading, and he would be a heretic. He would be killed. Because he did this. But he wasn't. Because they loved his art. So art is a savior. To the Pope. And so, because you're such a good artist, Raphael can't do what you're doing. But Raphael was the replacement for him. Because he painted a lot of other things. And he was so good. And he is a very clever guy. But he wanted Michelangelo to do that. And so he just promised him things, didn't pay him on time, and so on and so forth. But he abused him. But artists are kind of funny because they have their own ideas inside of themselves, which they're going to express or do whatever they want to, and they don't think in the box. They think outside the box. So I said, you know, so for example, Leonardo da Vinci, when he painted the Mona Lisa, she's a prostitute. Everybody in the medieval times, they painted Mary or Jesus or both. What are you going to paint today? I think I'll paint Mary. Or you want to paint Jesus? Okay, I'll paint Jesus on the cross. But that's all you had. There wasn't anything else. And you could tell that this was a holy person because they had a little gold circle around their head. And that meant that's a holy person. Did you know that gold became blue in the 12th century? Because all of a sudden, Giotto and some artists began to paint like ancient pagans. That was the beginning of the Renaissance. And so all of these people began to change the world to have blue skies. Because nobody saw a blue sky up there. But in the medieval days, every sky had to be gold. That was what made it obvious. That was Jesus. Because everybody was a Christian. They're part of the Christendom. And everybody in the world is a Christian or should die. Like the Muslims, just chop your head off. You have to be a Christian or you're out. The world is crazy, but this word is good news. And I want you to know you are safe. You're completely able to comfort yourself every day to say, even though I'm contradictory and so on, I don't pay attention to that. I only pay attention to the Word of God. Sola Scriptura, only Scripture. Sola Gratia, only grace. Sola Fide, only faith. Sola, but it doesn't say sola. It says solus Christus, because it's a person. Solus Christus, only Christ. That's your salvation. And to that, soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory.
Amen.
This is your glory. This is what I want you to learn today, how to worship God. Yes. Worship Him in glory. Do it by faith. Don't do it because you're sincere. Just do it. Whatever He says, do it. And immediately when you do something, God will multiply it. The five loaves become 5,000 men, plus women, plus children. That fed a lot of people. And there were 12 baskets left over, which were much more than just the five loaves and two fish. That's amazing. I don't know if they multiplied the fish. But there were baskets left over of the crumbs and all that was left over. That was enough to feed a lot of people. In other words, God can feed anybody at any time. Are you seeing? I'm looking into an unseen world. And I believe it's more real than this world.
Amen.
And I want you to relax, be yourself, let Jesus clean you up. If there's any sin in you, and there is. If there's any sin in you, and there is. If there's any sin in you, and you can't get rid of it, I tell you, you can try as hard as you want. You'll not get rid of it. You can't stop doing bad, and you can't start doing good. Because Jesus already did it for you. In you, through you. And people years and years and years ago were at that meeting last night. And they would quote things that I said years and years ago because I haven't changed at all. I'm still preaching the same stuff. And it worked in the 70s and 80s and 90s. And it just keeps working. I mean, know that God is not a change agent. He doesn't change. He's always God. Today, forever. Today, tomorrow. It's always the same. God is always the same. But He also wants to change you. That's the only thing He wants to change is you. Can He do it? He's the only one that can do it. You cannot perfect yourself. You cannot improve yourself. You cannot with education or, you know, brilliance or whatever. You can't do it. Only God can do it. So he counts you as so. What is man that thou art mindful? His mind is full of you every day. Individually. His mind full of Dan every day. You only need to know it. She doesn't need to know it. But he's full just of Dan. Every day I don't know how he does it in his mind. I don't know how he does it. But I don't care because it's in the Bible. That this is my book. This is my authority. This is everything I do right here. Will I be persecuted and hated? Yes, of course. Will I be misunderstood? Yes, of course. Don't even think about it. Just keep doing. So, the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Did you know the best has been saved to the last? The best wine has been saved to the last. But everything good has been saved to the last. Because you haven't even seen heaven. You haven't even seen the millennium. You haven't seen even the bad guys getting it and the good guys. You know, you haven't seen any of that. That's all yet to come. All we saw is the first coming. We haven't even seen the second coming. It's about to come. And when you are, you'll be in a new world. What was it was always there. It was in the mind of God. Mind of God, I want Dan to be with me in heaven. You do not deserve it, Dan. I don't know if you know this. You do not deserve to be there. Isn't that amazing? Why would he do that? Because he disregards everything you did and said, I'll take care of sin, not Dan. I'll take care of all Dan's sin. And when he sees me, when I come back, he'll have a new body, a new soul, and a new heart, all in agreement. Today, you're a contradiction. In the future, you will not be. You will feel everything that God feels. You will want everything God wants. And you will think everything God thinks. There'll be no mysteries. That's coming. On earth. As it is. In heaven.
Hallelujah.
Same. I didn't say that. He said that. So I live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. If he says it, I believe it. I don't have to think about it. I don't think about it. I don't meditate on it. I just believe it. What it says, I believe it. Even though I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. I just believe it. And I say that. That's my confession. Confess. Con always means with. So confessing. So I'm fessing something that I conned with him. In other words, if he said it, I agree with it. I always do what he says. Always? Well, no, that's an exaggeration. But I want to. Okay, so I want to. But do you do it? No. So every day I confess my sin. Do you do that? Every day. You have sin every day. You have sin, Jacob. Every day. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it can keep coming up. It's a sin you confessed 3 days ago and you're still doing it. You can still do it. And so, oh, pooey. You know, I thought I took care of that. Well, you didn't take care of anything. God takes care of everything. Don't take care of anything. God provides for everything on your behalf, in your stead, for your advantage, for your profit, for your benefit. Everything God does is for you. That's a good God. That's what I want to preach about this year. Glory to God. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. No one disagrees with that. But they're not living it. Don't worry about the life. Just worry about their faith. Do you believe this word to be true? Sola Scriptura. Do you believe your words are not true? Yes. My words are not. So I copy as closely as I can. It's not perfect. Closely as I can, I want to say what's in the scripture. So God, I believe, is speaking to me today, and somebody here would have a revelation, not of me, through me, to you. That's God. That's God. I'm going to change today. No, God's going to change me today to agree that I just received a revelation from God every day. How many here have a testimony today? One? Two? Three? Three people? Four people? Four people. Praise God. Five people. Six people. Seven people. Eight people. Wow. If I keep going, I could be here all afternoon. It doesn't matter. God loves you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you doubt or think or feel or want. It's all in God's hands. He's mindful of you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? If I were God, I would never be mindful of sinners. But he doesn't say that. He says, of sinners who repent, comfort yourself. Why? Because of this word. Because of this word, I can comfort myself. This word has no bad news in it. There's no bad news in this whole Bible. I don't care what you've read. You read it wrong. Keep reading it until you see that everything in this Bible is for you. Not for somebody else, for you. And if you live a holy individual life, you'll affect others without knowing it. You'll just affect others. It'll affect your children, grandchildren, neighbors, enemies. It'll affect everybody. You are the light of this world. All the darkness goes away. You are the salt of the earth, making everything acceptable to God. You are the dwelling place of the living God. Amen.